the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
18 past four is the time. Hope you're having a good afternoon. Richard Glover with you on Drive. I wonder if you've ever been through a really bad breakup, relationship breakup or marriage breakup. How long did it take you to recover and what method did you use? The Australian writer Sheridan Jobbins had a shocker of a breakup, which then propelled her to a wild road trip across America and finally to new love. The book is called Wish You Were Here, and she's in the studio. Good afternoon.
Got your wish. I'm here.
I said shock and breakup, and that's kind of right. You talk in the book about a breakup being like death. You even quote Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and the seven stages of grieving.
Yeah, well, I was always a bit dramatic. Yeah, but I think the shock was more that it didn't seem like a bad relationship. It wasn't like some of those ones where you can see it coming. It was just sometimes life deals you a dud hand, and I think it was one of those, and reached a point where it was real.
Mm. Yeah. The seven stages of grieving, according to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you list them as, I don't think this is entirely right, anger, bargaining, denial, castration and regret. I don't think that's right.
I was very angry.
In fact, the book starts well. It doesn't quite start, but early on there's a great crockery smashing scene.
Yeah, well, there's this. I think people who are going through a breakup will appreciate that you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got bees in your head, like, why didn't this and why I order. And this night I was being grown up. I was not going to be that person. I was going to make a glass of Horlicks. And I put my hand in the cabinet and it was open at the back. And four cupboards down, a glass that I really liked fell out and smashed. And I thought, oh, I'm being a grown-up. I can do this. I got the glass and I thought, I'll araldite it. I opened the drawer, which had all my things waiting to be araldited, and it was just full of cracked, crazed and broken crockery. And I looked at the glass and I just thought, oh, down on the floor went... that was good. So I opened this drawer and all the bits, I picked them up and I did the next one and then the next one. And then I opened the cupboard and anything that was cracked or his or ugly, bang, 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 bang. Oh, fantastic. Went to bed, woke up the next day. I was Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music. Beautiful morning. And I picked it all up and there were pieces in the wall in the bathroom like 30 metres away. I thought,
who did that?
Marvellous, marvellous. Packed it up, got onto the landing, all this lady crockery and garbage bags in my hand, and I saw my neighbour who said, "Hi, love, doing all right in there?" And good. And he said, "Sure?" I went, "Yeah." Great. I had broken every cup and saucer, glass and plate in my house at 4 o'clock in the morning in a block of flats. And I just stood there and thought, that's it. Like, I don't have a marriage, I don't have kids, I have, you know, work's not going well. And just through that moment I thought, America. Runaway. Sitcoms, happy endings, life, live your dreams, be that person you wanted to be at 9. And so that's how the adventure started.
I want to be in America. I want to be in America. So you go over to America.
I can't believe you got me to sing. I have a terrible voice.
So do I.
Marvellous harmony.
So this is the Thelma and Louise without the Thelma, I suppose, or maybe without the Louise.
Yeah.
You hire a car.
Yeah, well, I actually bought it, which in itself is a whole thing.
$5,000, wasn't it?
Is
that right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when I started to buy the car and the $5,000, and I presented obviously as, you know, a 35-year-old woman who was tiptoeing across America, because the problem was that I wanted to buy a Merc, you know, one of those country cars that's like a 78 Merc or one of those big tanks that won't break down or just go and go and go. But in America, a Merc is a Mercury, which is like trying to buy a 1978 Hyundai, if such a thing exists. So when I asked for this Merc, they showed me Camrys, Hyundais, little tiptoe lady cars, and I started to think, oh, man, I haven't started this a moment too soon. Like, I still have juice in me. I need to live. And I ended up on, I think it was Santa Monica Boulevard, there was a car yard that was called Sheridan, which is quite a popular name in America because he was a northern general. And so this was going for Sheridan, Sheridan, Sheridan. I thought, oh, okay. You know, if it's talking to you personally, let's go and have a look. And on special was this car, which is a 1989, so quite old. I've forgotten the name, Chevy Camaro, a car that's in certain quarters favoured as, you know, drive-by shootings. It's a real gang car. And a monster. I mean, it was as big as that shark we were hearing about earlier. I mean, it was like 9 metres long, whatever it was, and big red. And I just got the giggles. I just thought, this car is just too good. So then I did a whole, you know, 12 hours with all the used car salesmen, and finally I ended up in the boss's office at like 6 o'clock on a Friday night, and he's just saying, you know, buy the car. And I'm, well, why won't you let me leave? And this is all the money I've got, and I've got to make it back and all the rest. And he said, look, I've got to meet a quota or I lose the franchise. And he leant across and he just said, buy the damn car.
And you did.
And I bought the damn
car. So this very kind of inappropriately flash car, you set off on your adventure across America. It's a great and vivid journey, and I'm sure I'm one which will chime to people, because you have these great adventures and there are these happy times and times when you do kind of momentarily forget about the marriage breakup. But then suddenly, for no particular reason, you're back in the hole again. You write at one point that you and your husband had been so close that parts of each other were dying like the outer leaves of a pot plant.
Yeah. The pot plant image is, we were really close. Like it sort of shocked me. And in fact, we're still good friends. So it's kind of, I'm in some respects, anyway, the thing that I think started to happen is, especially as you get into your 30s and starting to get to the 40s, all the things that you want of life, you've either achieved them or you're not going to. And I think there's a crisis of passion. Who do I want to be? Have I achieved what I wanted? And I'd certainly done very well. But we'd been doing IVF for almost the entire relationship and it hadn't worked. And even though it looked every time like it was going to be great. And all of that just starts to erode your heartland. Is this everything? Is this all that I want? And so often that's what would come up. And the Kubler-Ross, I think, actually does give you good tools for dealing with grief. Like at least, even though it's not like a nice little checklist where you can kind of get to the bottom and say, I did it. Ha ha, all the stages. Nice, 1 to 10. I'm great. It's more you bounce around in it. So sometimes I could be accepting of it and say, well, this is my life now and it's not so bad. And the generosity of the average American, I think the times we live in, we often forget that. But I was greeted by most people with incredible kindness and good humour, mm-hmm. and people recognised the journey as something that they wanted to do or had gone through or were going through. And so I could be in the acceptance, but then a song would play or an idea would occur to me or, you know, at one point the moon rose and it just seemed romantic and like I'm strong, I can do this, I can ring him. And then in the course of the phone call, just getting to the end of it and just being horrible, like none of this coming out when I would speak to him, just damning him and picking on him and being mean. And, you know, a young man who just wanted to live, like in retrospect, I can see it as totally forgivable. In the moment, anger, denial, castration, regret.
Sheridan Jobbins is here talking about her book, Wish You Were Here. You talk about the virtues of solo travel. That's part of it, isn't it?
I think travel is one of the most healing things to do. Now, maybe I've got the gypsy in me, I don't know. But there's something about going into the world and the world responds to you differently. Like
when you're alone, when you're not part of a couple.
When you're not
or a family,
part of the couple, when you're not part of the family, particularly when you're not with friends and family, because people know you. They push your buttons, they expect you to behave in a certain way, they either want you to be resilient or ditzy or whatever you are. But suddenly in the world, this is who I am and how do you respond? Like, are you being helpful? Are you being mean to me? Are you taking or are you giving? And I think it's a really good barometer to see where your own errors are, because we all have blind spots and we choose people that share our blind spots, and suddenly the world is not giving you blind spots and not everybody likes you and not everybody is you. So there were two occasions on the road where I think for the first time in my life I was the sort of dumper. Like, I've always been the dumpy. I'm very steadfast. I tend not to leave. And there were two occasions where men found me attractive and wanted to make more of it. And for the first time in my adult life it was like, I really like you. I can see what you're doing. No.
I'm walking away.
Yeah, explanation.
We've always like everyone listening's always liked you. Well, those who've been in Australia for a while, because back when you were 9 years old, you sounded like this on the television.
Then, into a nice dish, put a spoonful of white, then a spoonful of pink mixture until the bowl is full. Decorate the top with a cherry to make it look pretty. And there.
This is an extract of a television program called Cooking with Sherry, which was on Australian television when Sheridan Jobbins was 9 years old. It won her the dubious distinction of being in the Guinness Book of Records as the world's youngest TV producer.
Presenter, but yes.
No, sorry, presenter, yeah.
I listened to her and that little dolly. I mean, what a little sweetheart, trying to do everything just right, yes. I've gone through phases where I've denied her, but she's now a part of me. I actually think it might be your fault. About 2 years ago, you rang up and asked me about it and I had to seek it out. So I think...
Oh, once we've got the tape, we don't let go. After Cooking with Sherry, there was Simon Townsend's Wonder World, and then this career writing, you know, pretty big pictures, big Hollywood pictures. Easy Virtue is one which you co-wrote. And then the breakup, and then this trip to America. Mm-hmm. It ends well, though. Love again.
Yeah, in the strangest places.
In America.
In America. Well, technically in London, it was even weirder. It was like I did a side trip to visit some friends, Mark and Michelle, who's Mark Colvin, in fact, is who I went to visit. He doxed himself. I wasn't going to say it, but he did an endorsement for the book. So I went to see them, and his wife Michelle was studying with my husband. So we went to what I laughingly and rather derisively called the philosopher's ball, because he was studying philosophy, and met this 10 years younger, very bright-eyed, delightful man. I mean, like an English rose, but a male version. We hear about the women. We don't hear about the sweet men. And a very short holiday romance that ended in a taxi with me going to visit my friend, you know, catch up with my friend who'd paid for half the car. And in that taxi, there was a misunderstanding. I was saying, if I had the money, I would invite you on this trip, but I don't, and you have a full-time job and a life here. And I left, but he took that as an invitation, quit his job, took out a credit card, and told me he was coming to Washington.
And this time around, you didn't say no.
I didn't say no, but I didn't say, come on in, either. It was like, oh, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? So I was a bit shocked and also a bit naughty, because another man wanted a lift down to down south, and so I invited a third into the car, who was a very handsome Australian man, to act as a bit of a chaperone or a baffle. But there's something very strange in life when your third date is 6 weeks in a Chevy Camaro and a tent.
That's right. You can't deny love in those circumstances. It's a fabulous book that starts with crockery being damaged because of a broken heart and ends with sunshine breaking out because of a healed heart. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
My pleasure.
All it takes is going on the road.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road.
Sheridan Jobbins' new book is called Wish You Were Here, and it's out this week.
With my friend, and I can't wait to get on the road again.